And good morning, everybody. It's Pastor Randy here, and welcome to another episode of Saved and Uncensored. You know, whether you guys are watching on YouTube or Facebook or tuning in on one of our podcasting platforms, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. Thank you for taking the time to join us for what I believe will be one of the most important conversations that I've had yet. That we've had yet, right? We've only done a couple, of these podcasts. You know, we're not set up yet. We're just using the Tactical Bible Guy podcasting platform and Tactical Bible Fellowship, you know, to put these things out. So, guys, I'm glad that you guys are here, you know. Today, we're going to be diving into a topic that's not just controversial, but it's downright critical. Critical gender theory, right? So this is an ideology sweeping through our culture, right? Influencing our schools, shaping our laws, and most alarmingly, targeting the hearts and minds of our kids, right? So it's a direct challenge to God's beautiful design for humanity. And it's leaving a trail of destruction, confusion, brokenness in its wake, you know? So we're going to tackle this head on, you know, not with anger or fear, you know, but with the truth of God's word and the heart to see lives redeemed. So let's start with some foundational truths straight from scripture in Genesis 1:27. It says this: "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So this verse sets the stage for everything we're going to talk about today, right? From the very beginning, God made it clear our identity isn't random or up for debate, right? He's created us intentionally, lovingly, and with purpose. Male and female aren't just biological categories. They're a reflection of God's created design and his divine image. So when we start to mess with that, we're not just rejecting the idea, we're rejecting the one who made us, right? And that's a big deal, right? And that's why this conversation matters so much. Now, let's be real. This isn't just some abstract intellectual issue, right? Critical gender theory, or CGT, right, is hitting close to home. You know, maybe you've seen it at your local schools or where kids are being told that they can choose their gender as if it's a preference on a menu. You know what I mean? Or maybe you felt, it's the tension in conversations with coworkers, friends, or even family members who actually bought into the idea that gender is fluid and subjective, right? So this just isn't out there anymore, right? It's everywhere, right? And the consequences are massive, right? So families are being divided, children are growing up confused, and even the church is struggling to respond in a way that's both truthful and loving, right? And that's why we, as believers, need to understand what's happening and why it's happening so we can step into the cultural chaos with clarity and courage, right? Here's the main idea that we're going to unpack today, right? God's design for gender and identity is under attack, right? This isn't just a cultural trend. It's a spiritual battle, guys. And the enemy is using confusion and deception to distort what God has made clear, right? But here's the good news. We don't have to sit back and watch it happen, right? We have the truth of God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the responsibility to protect our next generation. You know, we're going to talk about what critical gender theory is and why it's so dangerous, and how we as followers of Christ can respond in a way that honors God and points people to his truth. So this isn't about pointing fingers or winning any arguments either, right? It's about standing firm in the truth of Scripture and loving people enough to tell them the truth, right? It's about looking at the culture that's lost its way and offering hope and clarity that only Jesus can provide, right? And it's recognizing that our kids, yes, our kids are primary targets of this ideology, right? So if we don't step in and fight for their hearts and minds, who will? You know, as believers, you know, we are called to be watchmen on the walls, right? To sound the alarm when danger is near and to protect those most vulnerable among us. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. So, buckle up, because it's going to be challenging, but a necessary conversation. We're going to dive into scripture, you know, look at what God says about who we are and why we're here, and expose the lies that are being pushed on our kids and our culture, right? We're also going to talk about practical ways that we can respond and how to have those hard, tough conversations and how we can protect our families, right? And how we could be the light in the world that's getting darker by the day. You know, my prayer is that at the end of this episode, you'll walk away not just informed, but equipped and encouraged to stand for truth in love. So let's get started. So I want to make a couple announcements before this. Guys, if you guys want to donate, please use this QR code right here. It'll take you to the website. Go to the PayPal link. And please, when you do that, leave your email address so we can send you a tax-deductible receipt as well. Guys, we need your support. And thank you in advance for your support. We love you. And we pray for you guys daily. We really, really do. So, sorry, that was my phone. So let's take a moment to really appreciate the beauty of the depth of God's design for gender and identity. When we open scriptures and see verses like male and female, he created them and blessed them and named them man, and they were created, right? We're reminded, and that's in Genesis, by the way, we are reminded that our God is intentional. He's purposeful, and he's good at everything that he does, right? Gender isn't some afterthought or random idea either, right? It's a part of his incredible creation, and it's woven into the very fabric of humanity, designed to reflect his glory and his image in a way that both is profound and practical. From the beginning, God established gender as a vital part of his creation, right? He didn't just make us neutral beings and tell us to figure it out the rest, right? Instead, he created an Adam and Eve, male and female, you know, with unique qualities and complementary roles that allowed them to fulfill his purpose together, right? So this wasn't just about biology. It was about identity, relationship, and purpose, right? Male and female aren't arbitrary categories. They're an expression of God's design, revealing his creativity and his care for us as his people, right? Now, let's address something that we hear a lot these days, right? That the idea that gender is a social construct. Society tells us that gender is fluid, right? That it's based on how we feel or what we choose. But let's be real here, right? The idea couldn't be further from what scripture teaches. Gender isn't something we create. It's something God created. It's not ours to define or redefine. When we rewrite what God has already written, we're not just questioning his design. We're questioning his authority as creator. Right? This is a serious issue because at its core, it's rejection of God himself. You know, one of the most beautiful passages in scriptures that speaks to this is Psalms 139:13. And it says this, For you formed my inward parts and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now think about that for a second. God didn't just mass produce humanity on an assembly line, right? He formed each of us with care and intention. Now, when it comes to our identity or gender or, you know, our personalities or our gifts, it's all a reflection of his craftsmanship, right? He didn't make mistakes, and he didn't leave room for us to second guess his work. Our identity is rooted in him, not how we feel or what society says about us, right? Now, that's powerful, right? So when we understand that God is the author of life, it changes everything. It reminds us that our worth and identity come from him, right? That we're not tied, you know, to our achievements or our appearance or even our feelings, right? And this is especially important in a culture that tells us to find ourselves, right, by looking inward. See, the truth is that we'll never find lasting peace or purpose by looking inside ourselves, right? We find it looking to the one who made us. When we rest in the knowledge that our identity is secure in Christ, we don't have to chase after an ever-changing definitions of the culture, right? We stand firm on who God says we are. But what happens when we reject God's design, right? When we look out the world around us, we see consequences for trying to go our own way. Confusion, brokenness, pain, destruction, right? Rejecting God's design for gender and identity doesn't lead to freedom. It leads to chaos. It's like trying to use a tool for something it wasn't designed for. It doesn't work, right? It ends up causing harm. And in the same way, when we reject the roles and identity that God has given us, we end up hurting ourselves and others. So here's the hard truth, right? Rejecting God's design is ultimately rejecting God himself. When we say, I know better than God, we're putting ourselves in the place of the creator, of God, right? And it's the same lie the serpent told Adam and Eve, right? That we can be like God, deciding for ourselves what is good and right. But as believers, we know that true wisdom comes from trusting God and his word, not from following our own desires and the shifting trends of the world. God's design for gender isn't just about individual identity. It's about how we relate to one another and how we fulfill his purposes. You know, in Genesis, we see that, you know, God created male and female to complement each other, right? To work together in harmony, to reflect his image in a unique way. This is why marriage between a man and woman is so significant. It's a picture of Christ's relationship with the church. When we distort or deny the differences between male and female, we're not just messing with the social norm, we're undermining the divine truth. So as we navigate a culture that's increasingly confused about gender and identity, it's important to hold to God's truth and God's word, right? That doesn't mean that we respond with judgment and hostility, right? We respond with love and clarity, pointing people to God who knows them, loves them, and has a purpose for them, right? It's not about winning an argument. It's about pointing people to the truth that sets them free, right? You know, I see a lot of people, you know, being hateful about it, Christians being hateful about it. And I don't think that that's their intention, but that's what's happening, right? These are image bearers of God, and we need to love them and point them to the truth, right? And that's what we need to do when it comes to this critical gender theory and transgenderism and transsexuals and cross-dressers and stuff like that, right? So here's the other thing, you know, in a world that's desperate for answers, we have an incredible privilege of sharing the hope and truth of the gospel. You know, we can remind people that their identity isn't up for grabs. It's a gift from God, right? We can encourage parents to teach their kids about God's design from an early age, equipping them to stand firm against the lies that they will encounter. And we can pray for those who are struggling with the confusion, trusting that God's truth will prevail. Ultimately, God's design for gender and identity is a reflection of his goodness and glory. When we embrace that design, we experience peace and purpose that he's intended for us. When we share the truth with others, we're not just defending biblical principles, we're pointing people to God who loves them and wants the best for them. So let's stand firm in truth, right? And see and speak in love. Speak it in love, right? And trust that God will use us to make a difference in a world that desperately needs him. So, CGT, Critical Gender Theories. Now, this has emerged as one of the most influential and controversial ideologies in our culture today. You know, at its core, CGT promotes the idea that gender is fluid, subjected, and entirely separate from biological sex. Right? It claims that individuals can define their gender based on personal feelings rather than physical or biological reality. This ideology directly opposes biblical truth that God's authority in rejecting his design and replacing it with the man-made philosophies. You know, scripture addresses this kind of rebellion clearly in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. It says this, claiming to be wise, that they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man. Right? So when people reject God's truth, they're inevitably replacing it with something else, usually a distorted version of reality that leads to chaos and harm. The rise of CGT didn't happen overnight. It's a part of a broader cultural shift that prioritizes personal autonomy over objective truth. In its worldview, the highest good is not found in aligning with God's design, but pursuing personal happiness, whatever that may look like, right? The philosophy teaches that our feelings define the reality, that and that any boundaries, whether biological, moral, or spiritual, are oppressive and should be dismantled, right? At first glance, it may look like freedom, but in reality, it's confusion and destruction. You know, one of the clearest examples of CGT's impact on our schools across the nation, children are being taught that gender is a spectrum, and they can choose their gender identity based on how they feel. This teaching is often introduced shockingly in young ages, leaving kids confused about something that they should be clear and foundational. Instead of being affirmed by their God-given identity, they're being encouraged to question it, experiment with alternatives. This creates a ripple effect of confusion as kids who have never doubted their gender begin to wonder if they should, right? The result is an entire generation growing up with a solid understanding of who they are and why they were created. I mean, it's sad, guys. It's sad and it's sick because, I mean, they're going after, and these are some of these kids don't even understand what's happening to their body. They're going through puberty, stuff like that, you know what I mean? And it's like, wow, whoa, you know what I mean? And now this confusion has come in about God's design, right? So, and it also breaks down the family structure, right? And that's another devastating consequence of CGT. God designed the family as a foundational unit of society, right? With each member playing a unique and vital roles. When traditional roles are rejected or redefined, the family loses its God-given purpose and stability. You know, fathers are no longer seen as protectors and leaders, mothers as nurturers and caregivers, as children, as blessings to be guided and loved. Instead, the roles are blurred and dismissed altogether, leaving families fractured and uncertain. The rejection of biblical gender roles doesn't lead to equality, right? Or harmony. It leads to dysfunction and disconnection. This ideology also contributed to a significant rise of mental health issues. When people are told that their identity is entirely up to them, they carry the weight of creating and maintaining their own sense of self, right? So this burden, that's a burden that no one was meant to bear, right? Our identity was designed to be anchored in God, not our feelings, which are fleeting and unreliable, right? The result of self-determination is often anxiety, depression, and confusion, right? Studies have shown that individuals who struggle with gender identity issues are at high risk for mental health challenges, not because of societal rejection, but because of their inner turmoil that's from living at odds with God's design. So the cultural impact of CGT is impossible to ignore, right? It's reshaping how people think about everything from education to family to personal identity. But see, as believers, we need to see this ideology for what it is. It's a rebellion against God. It's not just a harmless cultural trend, excuse me. It's a spiritual attack designed to distort God's creation and lead people away from Him and His truth. You know, the Bible warns us of this kind of deception that will come, right? And it challenges us to stand firm in truth, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says this: "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teacher to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Right? And that's what's happening today. We see that in the church, and we also see that in society. You know, one of the most concerning aspects of CGT is it targets our children, right? Kids are impressionable and look to adults, you know, for guidance and affirmation, right? When they're told by teachers and media and even peers that their gender is something that they can choose or change, it plants seeds of doubt and confusion. And for many, this leads into a lifelong struggle with identity and self-worth. As Christians, we have a responsibility to protect and guide the next generation, teaching them the truth about who they are in Christ, right? This means having hard conversations, standing against harmful ideologies, and showing them love and the truth of God's word. See, the rise of CGT also highlights the importance of the church's role in this cultural movement. We can't afford to be silent and passive about this. Instead, we need to equip ourselves with biblical truth and engage the culture in a way that's both courageous and compassionate. Now, this starts with the understanding of what CGT is and why it's harmful. It also means being willing to have uncomfortable conversations with those who may disagree, always pointing them back to the truth of Scripture and the hope that they found in Jesus. Ultimately, the rise of critical gender theory is a symptom of a deeper issue: humanity's desire to define truth for itself. It's the same struggle that we've seen in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve chose to trust their own judgment over God's command. But we know that God's truth is unchanging, guys, right? And His design is perfect. No matter how much the culture shifts or how loudly these ideologies are promoted, the word of God remains the foundation for life and identity. So as we navigate these challenging times, let's remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil, like in Ephesians 6:12. So this means Our response must be rooted in prayer, love, and truth of Scripture, right? It's not about condemning those who are caught up in these lies. It's about pointing them to the freedom and peace that come from embracing God's design. And by standing firm in the truth and living out our own lives, we could be the light in the darkness and a voice of hope for those who are lost. So it's let's rise to this occasion. Let's equip ourselves with the truth, speak it boldly, and trust that God will use our efforts to bring clarity and redemption in a world so desperate for both, right? The rise of critical gender theory may be a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for the church to shine brighter than it's ever had before. The impact on CGT on our children is both heartbreaking and alarming. This ideology, which promotes the belief that gender is fluid and entirely self-determined, directly undermines biblical truth and leads young hearts astray. You know, Scripture gives us guidance how we can raise and nurture our children. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up your children in the way they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." See, God's designed parents to be the primary guide and protectors of their children, ensuring that they're grounded in truth. But CGT often disguises as a progressive and inclusive, actively works against that by sowing confusion and rebellion in the minds of the next generation. One of the most dangerous aspects of CGT is how it pulls children away from the authority of their parents and ultimately God, right? It encourages kids to view their identity as something that is theirs alone to define, right? But rather something rooted in their in God's perfect design, right? It's subtle yet destructive shift that promotes the idea that parents are barriers to their children's self-expression, especially if they uphold biblical principles. And when children are taught to reject their parents' guidance, they're also being encouraged to reject God's authority over their lives. So we see this rebellion playing out in real tangible ways, right? In public schools across the country, you know, there are policies in place that allow children to pursue gender transitions without parental consent or even parental knowledge. Teachers and counselors are instructed to affirm child's chosen gender identity, even when it contradicts their biological sex. You know, some schools even keep this information hidden from the parents, operating under the assumption that the school knows best for the child. And these practices directly undermine God-given roles of parents as the primary caregivers and protectors of their children. And they also foster a sense of mistrust and secrecy, damaging the parent-child relationship. You know, in the entertainment industry is another powerful force shaping the minds of our children. Movies, TV show, books, social media platforms, you know, frequently promote gender fluidity as a normal, as not only normal, but desirable. Right? Kids are bombarded with messages that encourage them to question their identity and explore the alternatives of male-female roles that God created them to fulfill, right? For a child already navigating the complexities of growing up, this kind of message is deeply confusing. Instead of finding security and identity in God that has given them, right? They're taught to look inward to redefine themselves according to their fleeting feelings. This leads to identity struggles, anxiety, and a sense of isolation. You know, one particularly tragic example of CGT's destructive influence is right here in California. You know, a Christian family found themselves in the nightmare scenario when their son declared that he identified as a different gender. The parents, rooted in faith, expressed the love and concern with their child, but could not in good conscience affirm something that they believed that was contrary to God's design. instead of being given the freedom to lovingly work through this challenge as a family, the state intervened. The son was removed from their home and placed in foster care because the parents refused to affirm his gender transition, right? So now the family is now engaged in a heartbreaking legal battle, fighting for the right to raise their son according to their biblical values and convictions. This case highlights the dangerous precedent being set by unbiblical laws in the state of California, where the government is increasingly views parents as obstacles rather than parents raising their children. And by standing with this ideology that prioritizes individuals' autonomy over parents' rights, the state has effectively criminalized biblical parenting. So the emotional and spiritual toll that this takes on a family cannot be overstated. It's a chilling reminder of what happens when society moves away from God's truth and embraces a man-made ideologies. You know, and you know, the mental and emotional cost of CGT on children is undeniable. You know, studies have shown that children who struggle with their gender identity are at higher risk for depression, anxiety, and even suicidal thoughts. You know, while the proponents of CGT often blame this on societal rejection or lack of affirmation, the deeper issue is one of identity confusion, right? When children are told that their feelings define who they are, right? You know, they're placed on an unstable foundation. Feelings change. And when they do, these children are left grasping for answers in a world that offers none. The only true lasting source of identity is found in Christ, right? When kids are pointed away from him, the result is confusion and pain. You know, and as you guys as parents and educators and believers, we have a responsibility to protect our children from harmful ideologies. And it starts in the home, you know, where we must consistently teach our kids the truth of God's word. You know, they need to know that their identity is not something that they have to figure out on their own. It's a gift from God who created them male and female for a purpose. We need to equip our children to navigate a world that will challenge their faith, right? Not change their faith, but actually challenge it. This means having open and honest conversations about what they see and hear, explaining why these ideas are contrary to God's design, and giving them the tools to stand firm in truth. We also need to be vigilant in our communities, advocating for policies that protect parental rights and biblical values. You know, whether it's a school board meetings, local elections, or conversation with teachers, we must speak up for the next generation. The battle for our children's hearts and mind is very real, and silence is not an option anymore, right? Standing together as a body of Christ, we can push back against the tide of confusion and point families towards the truth that sets us free. Now, I'm going to say something. California is a Democratic state. But if you look at California, it's mostly red, right? We need to start standing up for not only our kids, but the state. People are leaving in droves. You can't even afford to live in California. Newsom's spending money and all this. And now Harris is thinking about taking over the governorship of California. Guys, it's time for a battle. It's time to step up, man. You know, this whole critical gender theory, critical race theory, and all this stuff is just bogus. It's just lies from the devil. So, off of that note, finally, we need to pray fervently and faithfully. Pray for our children that God will guard their hearts and minds in a world that seeks to lead them astray. You know, pray for parents that they would have the wisdom and courage to raise their kids in the fear and instruction of the Lord, right? And pray for those who are lost in the lies of CGT, right? That they would come to know the truth of God's design and the hope found in Jesus, right? The impact of critical gender theory on our children is a sobering reminder of the spiritual battle that we're facing. You know, but we're not without hope, guys. God has given us his word, his spirit, you know, and his people to stand against the darkness and shine his light. As we train up the next generation in a way that they should go, we can trust that God will be faithful and guide them and to bring about, you know, his purpose in their lives. So let's commit ourselves to the task with boldness, love, and unwavering faith. Guys, as believers, we're called to stand boldly for truth, right? Especially in a time when culture increasingly rejects God's word. Critical gender theory and its ideologies like it, you know, are more than a social or political issues. They're spiritual battles designed to distort God's design and lead people away from him. This isn't a fight that we can afford to just to sit out, right? You know, we have a responsibility to teach the truth, stand firm in our faith, and pray for revival, trusting that God can and will work through his people to bring restoration. You know, so let's unpack how we can respond to this challenge with boldness and faithfulness. First and foremost, we must be people who know and teach truth, right? Jesus prayed for his disciples, saying in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So God's word is the ultimate standard for truth, right? And it must be the foundation of how we live, teach, and raise the next generation. You know, our children are growing up in a world that constantly bombards them with lies. Lies about who they are, why they were created, and what will bring them fulfillment, right? If we're not intentional about teaching them truth, someone else will, and then they'll fill the voids with falsehoods. Parents, it starts at home. At the dinner table, bedtime routines, even car rides are opportunities to instill biblical worldview in your kids. Now, also, it's homeschooling, right? Homeschooling your kids. So, you know, talk about God's design for humanity and why he created us male and female and why his plan is good and perfect, right? Don't shy away from addressing cultural issues like critical gender theory. You know, our kids are hearing about these things in their public schools, online, and from their friends. It's our job to counter those lies with truth, with the truth of God's word, right? In a way that is age appropriate and rooted in love. Amen. The church also plays a vital role in equipping families. Sunday school, youth groups, Bible studies, should be places where kids and teens can ask the hard questions and receive biblically sound answers. You know, churches must prioritize teaching a robust biblical theology that just doesn't tell kids what to believe, but also why it's true. When we ground our children in truth, we give them the tools to navigate a culture that seeks to confuse and deceive. So, standing for truth in today's culture requires a lot of courage. The Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 16:13 are a rallying cry for believers. Be watchful. It says this, be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be strong. Right? You know, we live in a time when biblical convictions are increasingly unpopular. You know, the pressure to conform to cultural norms is immense. But as followers of Christ, we're not called to blend in. We're called to stand out. So this means we cannot compromise the truths of Scripture. even when it's uncomfortable. Issues like gender and identity aren't just cultural debates. They're spiritual matters that go beyond, that go to the heart of God's design. When we stand firm in what the Bible teaches, we honor God and offer a lifeline to those who are lost in the lies of this world. That doesn't mean that we're harsh or unkind, but it does mean that we're unwavering, right? So supporting those who share our biblical convictions is another way to stand firm. Christian educators, politicians, and ministers, pastors, often face incredible challenges as they work to uphold biblical truth in a hostile environment. You know, by supporting them, whether it's through prayer, financial giving, public encouragement, you know, we strengthen the body of Christ and help advance the kingdom of God in places where it's desperately needed. It's also important to engage in the public square, right? Now, this doesn't mean, you know, we all need to run, for office, to lead major initiatives. But it does mean that we should use our voices to advocate for truth. Attend school board meetings, right? Vote for leaders who align with biblical values. And speak up when policies or practices are threatened the well-being of our children and our families, right? These actions matter. And they send a message that the people of God will not be silent and face deception, right? Think about that. We've been silent too long. Ultimately, the battle that we're facing, and you know that it's a spiritual one, and it requires spiritual weapons, right? One of the most powerful tools that we have in prayer is God's promises in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear that from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." This verse reminds us that revival begins with the people of God, right? When we humble ourselves, repent, and cry out to God, you know, He moves in ways that we can't even imagine. Prayer for God to open, you know, open the eyes of those who are being blinded by the lies. You know what I mean? Many people are caught up in ideologies like critical gender theory, genuinely believe that they're doing what's right, right? They've been deceived by a culture that celebrates autonomy over God's authority, right? Pray that God would soften their hearts, reveal His truth to them, and lead them to repentance. Pray for parents, pastors, and teachers who are on the front lines of this battle. They need wisdom, courage, and strength to stand firm and lead others to truth, right? Pray for the children who are being targeted by these harmful ideologies, that God would protect their minds and hearts and give them a hunger for His word. And finally, pray for our nation, that God would bring a sweeping revival that turns hearts back to Him and restores biblical truth as the foundation of our culture. You know what I mean? Sorry, my mouth's getting dry, so I'm drinking a lot. So bear with me here. All right, so teaching them truth, standing firm, and praying for revival aren't just theological ideas. They're actions that we are called to live out every day. You know, they required intentionality, perseverance, and a deep reliance on the Holy Spirit. But the good news is we're not doing this alone, right? God is with us, empowering us to be the salt and light in this world, desperate for truth, right? And He has given us His church, a community of believers who can encourage, equip, and support one another in His calling. As we rise to this challenge, guys, let's remember that our ultimate goal isn't just to win a cultural argument. It's to point people to Jesus, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6, right? And only through Him can true freedom and identity be found, right? The world doesn't need more opinions. It needs the gospel, you know, so let's be bold in sharing it, living it, and proclaiming it. Trusting that God will use our faithfulness to accomplish his purpose. You know, the culture may be shifting, but God's word never changes. You know what I mean? And as believers, we have the privilege and responsibility to stand on that unchanging truth and declare it to the world so desperately needs to hear it. Right? Let's teach the truth. Stand firm in our faith and pray fervently for a revival, knowing that God is faithful to work through his people for his glory. Now, let's take a moment to reflect on the weight of the topic that we've just covered. Critical gender theory isn't just another cultural trend or an academic idea. It's a direct assault on God's design for humanity. You know, the stakes couldn't be higher because the ideology doesn't just distort the truth. It seeks to refine it entirely. As believers, we can't afford to sit on the sidelines, guys, while our children, our families, and our society is impacted by this deception. Instead, we're called to action, to depend on God's truth, protect the vulnerable, and to live as lights in a dark world. Right? Paul's words in Romans 12:2 provides a clear charge for us. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." This verse challenges us to think differently, live differently, ultimately be different from the world around us. It's a reminder that our identity is not found of what culture says, but about what God has declared in his word, right? It's also a call to have courage, because standing apart from the world often means facing opposition. Yet, we can also, we can do also with confidence, knowing that we serve a God who is faithful and unchanging. Amen. Our world desperately needs the light of Christ, guys, right? The darkness and confusion, the brokenness and the rebellion and the destruction is evident. And it's growing acceptance of ideologies like critical gender theory. But we know that the light of the gospel shines bright in the darkest places. Jesus told his followers in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." This is our role as a church, guys. You know, to shine the truth of God's word into the confusion of the culture. You know, many of you guys might be stagnant right now in your walk, not really doing anything to share the gospel. You're not out evangelizing. You're not feeding the homeless. You're not sharing the love of Christ with people out in the street, right? And that's bad. You know, sometimes it could just be I walk around when I go to Walmart, man. You know, I walk around and I smile at people. And half the time they don't smile back at me. You know, they probably think I'm a weirdo or whatever. But I smile them for a purpose. You know, when I get eye contact and I say, you know, hey, God bless your day. You know, I hope your day is great. You know, just something affirming, something this is positive, you know, and sometimes I get smiles back and I say, God bless you. You know what I mean? And it's a good way to do that. There's other times where I've done that, where I've sat there for 2 hours just to talk about the gospel. You know, I didn't care about what I had going on. I just talked about the gospel. And that's so great. Being a light in the world, being the light of Christ in the world, doesn't mean that we have to be perfect or we have to have all the answers. You know, it really means that we point people to the one who does. It means that we live in such a way that our lives reflect hope, joy, and truth, right? That come from knowing Christ. When we engage with people who have been influenced by critical gender theory, we must do so with both conviction and compassion. And I'm going to put in there with love too, right? Because these conversations aren't about winning arguments. It's about pointing people to the truth that sets them free in John 8:32. One of the ways that we shine as lights is by standing boldly for God's truth. This requires knowing His word, right? And being willing to speak it, even when it's unpopular, right? Critical gender theory, or CGT, is fundamentally rejection of God's authority. And as believers, we must lovingly but firmly defend His design for humanity. This isn't about being combative or argumentative either. It's about standing on the foundation of Scripture and refusing to compromise. You know, teaching God's truth starts at home. It really, really does. You know, parents have a unique responsibility to equip their children with biblical worldview. And this means having open and honest conversations about what the Bible says about gender identity and God's purpose for their lives. It also means being proactive in addressing messages they're hearing from schools, media, and peers. You know, the goal isn't just to shelter our kids from the world, but to prepare them to navigate it with wisdom and discernment, right? And the church is also essential in the role to play in defending God's truth. Pastors and leaders must address the cultural issues from the pulpit, providing their congregations with the biblical tools they need to engage in the world around them, right? Small groups, Bible studies, discipleship programs can also create spaces for believers to wrestle with these topics and grow in their understanding of God's word, right? Another critical aspect of our call is to protect those who are most vulnerable to the lies of critical gender theory, and that's our children. You know, Proverbs 22:6 reminds us to train up our child in the way they should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The responsibility to guide and teach and protect our kids is one that God takes seriously, and so should we. The current cultural climate makes this task more challenging than ever. Schools, entertainment, even laws are working against biblical truth and parental authority. For example, we've seen heartbreaking cases where parents lose their rights simply because they refuse to reaffirm their child's gender confusion. These unbiblical policies are not just about, they're unjust, but they're deeply harmful to families. And as believers, we must advocate for policies that protect parental rights and promote the well-being of our children. We must also stand with families who are fighting these battles, offering them support, encouragement, and prayer. Protecting the vulnerable isn't just about standing against what's wrong. It's about actively working for what's right. And we cannot underestimate the power of prayer either. You know what I mean? We really, really can't. Especially in this battle, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14 offers us both a challenge and promise. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Revival begins with people of God humbling themselves, seeking Him, and turning from sin. Right? So prayer is not just the last resort. It's our first and foremost powerful weapon. When we pray, we invite God to move in ways that go beyond our abilities. We pray for wisdom and courage for parents, teachers, and pastors and teachers who are standing for truth. We pray for children who are being influenced by these harmful ideologies, that God would protect their hearts and minds. You know, pray for those who have been deceived by critical gender theory, you know, that they would encounter the truths of the gospel and set them free. You know, pray for for our nation, that God would bring back revival that turns, you know, hearts back to Him. So, guys, as we conclude, let's remember that this is not just a cultural issue. It's a spiritual battle. The enemy seeks to distort God's truth, to destroy families and lead people away from God, right? But we know that Christ has already won the ultimate victory. Our job is to stand firm, proclaim the gospel, and trust God to work through our faithfulness. So let's commit right now. Let's commit to teaching the truth, both in our homes and in our churches. Let's stand boldly at biblical convictions, right? Even when it's costly. Let's protect the vulnerable and advocate for policies and practices that honor God and safeguard our children. And let's be people of prayer, seeking God's guidance, strength, and intervention in this critical time. The cultural may be shifting, but God's word remains unchanging. Let's hold fast to His truth, guys. Live as lights in the darkness and trust Him to accomplish His purposes, right? Together we can make a true difference, even here in the state of California. You know, for our families, our communities, and for the next generation, right? We need to start looking as Christians. We need to start looking at getting these evil people out of the offices and putting, you know, someone that, you know what I mean, that has our views, you know, that can heal this state. California is being destroyed. And I'm going to tell you this. If Kamala Harris becomes governor of this state, this will be the first communist state, true communist state, right? So just know that, guys. We need, as the church needs to wake up, you know, it's time to stand. It's time to fight. You know what I mean? We've been weak for too long. We need to fight. Not. So the culture may be shifting. So, you know, let's hold fast to that, right? You know, together, you know, we can make that difference, guys. You know, so may God give us courage, wisdom to stand in grace for His divine and declare His love. All right, so before I let you guys go, you know, I don't know if you guys, you know, wanted to take a moment to remind you guys of a few resources that we had to stay connected with us. If you guys haven't already done this, go check out Tactical Bible Guy, Tactical Bible Fellowship. You know, these sites are, you know, you'll get information of who we are, what we believe, and the mission behind everything that we do. So, and you can also find us on a variety of social media platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr, Patreon, Truth Social, and we're also on Bandcamp. So you can look for us there. And we love, you know, for you to like, share, and comment on our content and help us spread the word, right? Spread God's word. So your engagement is not only encourages us, but it helps us, helps others discover the hope and truth in Jesus Christ. And for those who love podcasts, don't forget to tune in to Tactical Bible Guy and Tactical Bible Fellowship on your favorite podcasting platforms. You know, we're on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, CastBox, Deezer, iHeartRadio. And as you, so you can listen to wherever it's convenient for you. And be sure to subscribe and share it with your friends. And so guys, I want to tell you about a cool bro of mine that's got a cool clothing line that I think you guys will love, right? So it's called Increase Decrease. If you can go to increasedecrease.org, these guys are doing an amazing job of creating high quality Christian apparel. You could get hats, t-shirts, stickers, and their designs are a great way to spark conversations about faith and repping the gospel in your daily life. Definitely give them a look. Go show your support. Buy their stuff, guys. And guys, so I'm so thankful for each and every one of you guys who tunes in and connects with us online, right, and supports what we're doing. You know, you are part of the bigger mission to share God's word and to shine His light in the world. So thanks for being here. And don't forget to stay connected, stay encouraged, and keep living boldly for Christ. So guys, if you would like to partner with us and support our work that we're doing, we'd be grateful. You know, your generosity helps us continue to share God's word, create meaningful content, and reach people around the world with the gospel. Supporting us is easy. All you got to go is just to tacticalbibleguy.com or tacticalbiblefellowship.org and look for the PayPal link. When making a donation, please be sure to include your email address. This allows us to send you a tax-deductible receipt. It's just a small way of us saying thank you for your contribution. That tax-deductible receipt you can use for your taxes at the end of the year. Every gift, no matter what size, makes a difference and helps us continue the mission that God has called us to. We deeply appreciate your prayers and encouragement and financial support, right? Together, we are making a impact for God's kingdom, and we couldn't do this without you guys. So thank you for standing with us, and may God bless you abundantly for your faithfulness and generosity. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you with grateful hearts for the truth of your word, which brings our path, that lights our path and guides us in a world of confusion. Lord, we acknowledge you as creator of all things, and you have designed us in your image, male and female, with purpose and intention. You know, we thank you for your unchanging truth and the hope that we have in Christ. Father, we lift up our children and the next generation to you. Protect their hearts and minds from the lies of this world. Give parents, teachers, leaders, and pastors the courage to teach truth with love and clarity. Strengthen families to stand firm in their faith and unity. Lord, we pray for those who are caught up in the deception of ideologies of critical gender theory. Open their eyes to the beauty of your design and the freedom found in surrendering to your will. May your church rise boldly, shining your light and proclaiming your gospel with compassion. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in prayer, steadfast in truth, and overflowing with grace. Equip us to defend your word and glorify your name in all that we do. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. 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 All right, guys, I hope you guys are enjoying the Sage and Uncensored podcast. I know I am. Gives me an opportunity to think about what we're going to talk about next, stuff like that. So, guys, I hope you're enjoying it. I know I am. And, you know, we'll see you. Well, tomorrow, guys, just so you know, tomorrow I'm doing a Thanksgiving message that it's going to be bombarded with some, but I'm not going to go on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So, I mean, Sunday I'll be there, but I won't go Friday and Saturday. So the next couple days are going to be bombarded with messages. And I think that's a good thing, right? So, guys, be blessed. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys all. If I miss you, God bless.